You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! And the
crowd's gonna heave one deep down the field! It's gonna be to the goal line! It's gonna be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball, over the middle!
To Harmon, he comes back. Say goodbye.
Ahmad Black, in his final game as a Gator, takes it all the way home and sends Urban out a winner.
Well, Coach, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to sit down with you. Thanks to Denver and the staff here. I was in this building a couple months ago. Unfortunate loss. Things happen. Talk to us about how that prepared you guys for this offseason.
Well, as you say, unfortunate way to end the season. We're disappointed that we went out a little early. But sometimes you can take advantage of the way things end. And we all had a sour taste in our mouths. But I do believe that loss to Iowa allowed the opportunity for us to retain, you know, Tommy, Ruben, and Kondo specifically. So we made lemonade out of those lemons, so to speak.
Yeah.
Really fortunate to have those guys back and obviously bring Denzel back into the program and retain a lot of our roster from last year. And we're really excited about the group that we have, moving forward.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about Denzel. So he goes to Kentucky, comes back. I think we're still waiting on word from the NCAA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Denzel obviously played for us at Florida, for 2 years, but was on the roster for three, played 30 minutes or so, 35 minutes, I believe, his freshman year, finished his fourth year at Kentucky last year. And we feel like he has a really good case to get an additional year of eligibility because he only played in, 40 or so odd minutes from that first year. Yeah. So he's already re-enrolled. He's working on his undergraduate degree. And we'll see how kind of the communication goes with the NCAA over these next couple weeks to see how they feel.
Awesome. So you already mentioned we get Tommy back, potentially a lottery pick. We get Reuben Chinyelu, who we learned can shoot the three ball at the combine. So we're looking forward to seeing more of that. You get Alex Condon back. You also get Boogie Flame back. So you get four of your five back. You get Denzel back. You get Isaiah Brown. Talk to us a little bit about, for those guys that were potentially looking at the NBA, what that process looks like, how you talk to them, other folks that you get involved in that decision-making. What does that decision-making process look like?
Well, all three of the guys that had the opportunity to really look at the NBA this year, Tommy, Ruben, and Kondo, they all have really good support systems. They're organized. And so for us, constant communication with them individually, and then, the close people around them, they're kind of helping them and guiding them through that process. The key for us, we try to keep really clear and open lines of communication open with them through the whole process, so we know where they stand, they know how we feel. And then it's our job at Florida to provide the best opportunity for our student athletes possible. And then they have to decide if they want to take advantage of it or not. And I think we were really fortunate, that all three of these guys value education. They're very close to getting their degrees. All three of these guys appreciate the experiences that they've had at Florida. They appreciate the support that they receive, from all the fans and the alums and the donors. And we've created a really, really healthy experience right now in our basketball program, which allowed us the runway to use RevShare and some NIL opportunities for the cherry on top to get these guys back on campus for their senior years.
So these guys come back onto campus. Everybody's excited. Including the folks that are looking at the odds makers, the folks that are planning what the standings look like going in a couple months from now. Talk to us a little bit about the privilege of pressure that you have going into this season. Probably a number one overall team, maybe top two, top three at worst. Talk to us a little bit about what that process is like and how you coach. I know that the team came off a national championship two seasons ago into last year. There's high expectations, but this year they seem to be even bigger. How do you guys manage that as a coaching staff?
It's part of it, with this group, and because we were able to retain the roster that we did, we knew that was going to come with the territory a little bit, and we welcome it at this point. As you mentioned, we've been playing high-level basketball within our program at Florida for a couple years now, whether it was the national championship year or last year when we received a one seed in the NCAA tournament, even though we fell a little short. So We've played against the best programs in America. We've played in the best venues in America, and I think this team is ready for another season with a big target on their back, and I believe that will be the case to start the season for sure.
So beyond the big three, the big four coming back, you also were able to retain Isaiah Brown, CJ Ingram, Alex Lloyd. You guys are returning 11 players. I know that you mentioned, you know, specifically Tommy was it CJ Ingram and Isaiah Brown, a lot of coaching or a lot of mentorship there. But what is it like in a world of NIL and where schools are throwing money at players, and you guys have recruited a lot of highly ranked players that maybe would get more minutes somewhere else. How do you deal with keeping those guys locked into the big vision of the program moving forward when there's an opportunity to leave?
I believe everybody in our program deserves credit for that. Our players, because of their maturity, you know, you talked about CJ Ingram or another young guy like Alex Lloyd that were both decorated high school recruits coming into a top-level program and understanding that they have to be patient, you know. They had great players in front of them. Tommy and CJ, as you referenced, have a great relationship. You know, and CJ's smart. CJ's mature. He understands that Tommy coming back limits his playing time, you know, an opportunity to an extent. But they had conversations together before Tommy announced he was coming back, and CJ was comfortable with what that was going to look like. It's a challenge, you know. And our guys, I believe we have 15 players on our roster right now that are really, really good. We have the deepest roster in America. But with that, there's going to be some guys that aren't playing as much as they want. And the great thing that my staff does, we're very honest with our guys and kind of what that's going to look like. And credit to our players. All they ask for is opportunity. They want the opportunity to compete for spots, and they'll let the chips fall where they may. But to have guys like CJ, Isaiah, Alex Lloyd, even Irby, who was sixth man of the year last year, coming back off the bench, all being great team guys and all being there, you know, for the success of Florida, allows us the runway to have great seasons. And the way we want it to work is when Alex, Tommy, and Ruben move on, which they eventually will do, that these younger guys step into those roles of being the star players in our program.
So I want to touch on what you just mentioned. It's about grooming and developing players into the system and into the program, but like beyond just players, it's coaches too. Again, you didn't have any coaches that probably had opportunities to go elsewhere and coach this year. What are you guys doing as a coaching staff to continue to have those guys buy in when there is an opportunity to be a head coach?
This year's, you know, unique, I really believe. You look at a guy like Carlin Hartman, who, you know, he could be a Division I head coach right now if that was the only goal, you know, on his checklist. Corey McCray, I feel the same about. But, you know, just like the players, we're excited to come back this year and see what happens. The coaches were too. When you have opportunities to coach guys, you know, like the guys we mentioned before, you know, when you're a veteran coach and you've been in the profession for a long time, you understand that these opportunities don't come along every year. And I think our ability to retain our players has helped with our ability to retain coaches. And our ability to retain coaches has helped with our ability to retain players. So it all kind of goes together. As I mentioned before, you know, as the leader of the program, my vision and job is to provide the best experience, you know, for our student athletes, not only in what we do every day, but to put them in positions to be the best professionals that they can be. And as long as our players feel like we're doing that, I think we'll continue to get a lot of guys in our program.
Yeah, I love it. Just a couple more questions, Coach. You went over to Europe and you got two guys that just joined the program, and you've done a great job with correcting me before. I know when we sat down in Sarasota, I called him Urban, and you're like, it's Urban. I'm like, silly me.
Close enough.
So Arturas Budajevas.
Budajevas.
Close enough. And then
Domen Petrovic.
See, 0-for-3.
That's close enough. We're working.
Talk to us a little bit about that. I know one is a big guy, probably a Micah replacement, and then Damone is a sick three-point shooter. He can shoot it. What should be the expectations of those two guys with this roster next
year? Yeah, Arturas, a really, really decorated prospect from Europe, you know, one of the top Lithuanian young players and has been for a while. You know, when we evaluated him, we saw some characteristics of a young Tommy Nkondo coming up, you know, out of the high school ranks. Not trying to put that level of expectation on him coming in, but I think he's going to be a really, really good player. That strong physical, rebounds really well, and also can step out and shoot the three a little bit.
Yeah.
Doman, I think's really exciting for us. You know, older player, going to be 22 years old, or is 22 years old. Had his best season of basketball this year, you know, playing in the professional league in Slovenia. 6'8", can really, really shoot it, has great feel for the game, and a guy that I think we could play at multiple positions, whether we wanted to play him at the three or the four, is capable because of his ability to stretch the floor. Yeah. It's a really smart player, similar to Irby that way, and, you know, they're Slovenian brothers, so to speak.
Sure.
So we could see some similarities in their game as well.
Okay, awesome. How do you stay grounded as a coach? You've had a ton of success. You were at San Francisco. You came to Florida, win a national championship in your third year here, going into your fifth season at UF. It's hard to believe. You have maybe one of the most stacked rosters in college basketball history. How do you personally stay grounded with all that?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I try to be as consistent as possible in working in the same manner as we did right when we got the job. You know, we've built this program in a short period of time to be one of the consistent powers in college basketball, but we feel like we're only as good as our last game or last season, and, you know, the second that starts tapering down, you know, we're not doing our jobs, you know, the way we're expected to. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I was given this opportunity, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. And our goal is to continue to build the program up and put ourselves in the best position we can to compete and let the chips fall where they may.
Last couple questions. You're coming to Tampa. You're starting the season here at Benchmark International Arena. How important is it to play a game in Tampa? And then a little birdie told me that there might be some other games around the state of Florida this upcoming year. But how important is it to get in? I know leaving the O-Dome is hard. It's one of the best places to play in college basketball. How important to you is it to come to cities like Tampa and play?
I think it's incredibly important. Yeah. You know, Tampa's been a great venue for us since we've got here, you know, playing in Benchmark. Obviously, it's a great arena. It's a great venue. Good enough to host NCAA tournament games, so good enough for us. And as I've said, we get great crowds and support down here, so we want to play down here when it makes sense and when we get great opportunities like this event. But we really like playing in Jacksonville. We like playing down in Southern Florida when it makes sense. And I do believe, you know, we have the strongest brand in the state right now. Maybe I'm biased, but we also want to give our fans the opportunity to come watch us play in person. And you know, there's It is hard to leave the O-Dome, but in November and December, while football is still kicking and really strong, I think those are the times to do it. So we'll continue to kind of seek out these opportunities, and when it makes sense for us, we'll take advantage of it.
There is some talk about expanding the NCAA tournament again. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's already done.
It's just 72. Yeah. 72.
76.
76,
right?
Geez, what do I know?
76.
What do you think the end point is?
Well, I will answer it this way. If I was still the head coach of the University of San Francisco, I'd be doing cartwheels right now. I'd be really, really happy about 76. Yeah. To be honest, for us, you know, I think it's good. It's never bad for more opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, more teams. I don't think it's going to necessarily, you know, ruin the mystique of the great event. You know, to have four more games, you know, the opening week, you know, could be great, you know. So it's kind of one of those things that's talked about a lot in the off season. Once we get to the season, I don't think a lot of people are going to worry about it. I don't think we need to expand much more than this.
Sure.
I would have been fine staying at 68,
sure.
You know. My hope is that we continue to play at a level where, you know, this won't affect our program much.
Last question. I know you went to the Morgan Wallen concert together, but talk to us about John Sumrall. What's his impact been like in Gainesville?
Been incredibly impressed with his mentality and his attitude that he's come to Gainesville with. I actually spoke to Coach Sumrall on Thanksgiving morning last year as he was kind of talking through the last couple things with Scott, and just the energy and the enthusiasm that he had about the opportunity. It reminded me of how I felt, you know, as I was discussing this opportunity with Scott. And, you know, I appreciate the way he went out of his comfort zone to support our program. He's at a lot of our games. You know, he's done a great job supporting the other coaches on our campus. And I know he has a lot of support from the fans because of the energy that he's brought. And, you know, he's not afraid to put himself out there in terms of, you know, just being available and someone that the fans can rally around. And I think he's going to do a great job. He understands the challenge that's ahead of him. He understands how good the SEC is, and he understands how successful he has to be, you know, to be thought of as a successful coach at Florida.
Yeah.
But what I think gives him a great chance is he's not running from any of that.
Sure.
He's taking it head on, and really excited to see what he does in year one.
That's awesome, man. Last question. What's on the aux for you? What new music you listening
what
to?
What are we listening to? You know what? I'm going more country these days.
Hell yeah. What are you listening to?
Obviously, the Morgan Wallen concert, like we discussed. You know, a little Ella Langley. She's been, been playing a lot.
Some Ella
John
fella?
Party. Yeah, I don't have a shirt yet. But
we'll have to get you one.
I've been supporting. But yeah, for my kids are getting that age. They're, you know, 10 and 8, so I can't really listen to some of the music that I listened to when I was a little younger when they were a vehicle.
Yeah.
But country has become a little more my thing lately.
I love it. Well, Todd, we appreciate you coming on Stadium and Gale again.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you soon, man. Best of luck with everything.
Yeah, great to see you.
Appreciate you, dude.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
76 teams. I'm an idiot.